Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Vasudevaya.
Read about Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 17, Description of the Varnashram System, text number 5-6. Just chant text 5. Bhaktar kata vitananyo Dhammasya chutta te buvi Sabhayam api vane rinsyam Yatra murti dara kala Bhaktar kata vitananyo Dharmasya chutta te buvi Sabhayam api vayurincham Yatra murti daraha kalaha Vakta speaker Karta creator Avita protector. Na. Not. Anyaha. Any other. Dharmasya. Of supreme religious principles. Achyuta. My dear Achyuta. Te. Then you. Bhuvi. On the earth. Sabhayam. In the assembly. Api, even, Vayinsyam, of Lord Brahma, Yatra, wherein, Murti Daraha, in the personified form, Kalaha, the Vedas. My dear Lord Achyuta, there is no speaker, creator, and protector of supreme religious principles other than your Lordship. Either on the earth or even in the assembly of Lord Brahma, where the personified Vedas reside. Thus, my dear Lord Madhusudana, when you, who are the very creator, protector and speaker of spiritual knowledge, abandon the earth, who will again speak this lost knowledge? That's a good question. Does anybody know the answer to that question? Who will again speak this knowledge? Maybe. Okay, that's a good question. Tattvam na sarva dharma gya dharmastva bhakti lakshanaha yathayasya vidhiyeta tata varnaya me prabho. Therefore, my Lord, since you are the knower of all religious principles, please describe to me the human beings who may execute the path of loving service to you, and how such service is to be rendered. Sri Sukaru Vacha Ittam Svabhritya Mukhyena Prishtasa Bhagavan Harihi Prithaha Chimaya Martyanam Dharman Aha Sanatanam. Sri Sukadev Goswami said, Sri Uddhava, the best of devotees, thus inquired from the Lord. Hearing his question, the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, was pleased and for the welfare of all conditioned souls, spoke those religious principles that are eternal. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Tarmya Isha Tava Prashno Nai Shreya Sakaroninam Vanasrama Charavatam Tam Udva Ibodame. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "My dear Uddhava, your question is faithful to religious principles and thus gives rise to the highest perfection in life, pure devotional service for both ordinary human beings and the followers of the Varnashram system. Now please learn from me those supreme religious principles." Purport: the word Nahi Sriyasakara indicates that which awards the highest perfection of life, Krishna consciousness, which the Lord is explaining to Sri Uddhava. When considering religious principles, ordinary human beings remain bogged down in sectarian, mundane considerations. The process that awards the highest perfection of life should be considered the most auspicious for human beings. The Varnashram system is the most scientific presentation of religiosity on the earth. And those who are most perfect in that system come to the point of Krishna consciousness for dedicating everything for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. Om Akhyanati Mirandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmae Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadaha Maheyam Dadatitva Padantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yakripatamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam. So, Uddhava is inquiring from Krishna, what is the process by which one can perfect their existence? Inquiry. Krishna responds, your questions. Will give rise to perfection. In the beginning of the Bhagavatam, it's described how everybody is asking questions. When a bird wakes up in the morning, it's asking questions. Where's the worm? Where's food? You know. Where's my shelter?
You know, where's my enemy? Where's my protection? These kind of questions are common to the animals and to the human beings, or the human beings and the animals. So they're the kind of questions that everybody is asking, and basically they pertain to mundane, material, bodily concept of life. But the kind of questions that Uddhava is asking relate to achieving perfection, and that perfection is to realize one's identity separate from this body. When one follows the process of devotional service, pratyakshavagamam damyam susukam katam avyayam, one experiences, one follows the process of devotional service, then one experiences separateness from this body. In other words, one's consciousness is elevated. That's why the process of devotional service is considered to be the perfection of religion, because it gives direct perception of the self. So one, as Prabhupada mentions, it's easy for one to detach oneself from things material when one realizes that oneself is separate from it. You know, one feels different when one chants Hare Krishna and follows the process of devotional service. Then one feels different. One is able to perceive the self, and one doesn't have to be convinced or persuaded. You know, Prabhupada gives the example of a person who's hungry. You give them a good meal of prasad, then you don't have to convince a person, now you're no longer hungry. He automatically feels it. His hunger is removed, the desire to taste nice foodstuffs is satisfied, and automatically he's nourished. So a person who engages in devotional service automatically experiences self-realization. And that's the real purpose of the human form of life, is to come to the understanding of one's separate identity from this, from the material energy. Krishna is the Sarvajna, and the living entity is the Chetragya. We just know what's going on in a limited sphere of activity. The Ishvara, or the controller, is conscious of everything that's going on within the creation. But in the bodily concept of life, living entity's consciousness is limited pretty much to this material sphere of activity. But when one inquires after some inspiration, one inquires as to the real purpose of existence, then one, if he inquires from the right person, gets an opportunity to achieve the perfection of life, which is to understand one's spiritual identity and rise above this gross bodily concept of life, which is basically the ordinary human beings, right? The ordinary human beings, its consciousness doesn't elevate, as Maharaj was saying the other day, doesn't elevate beyond the football and the cricket. You know, their inquiry is, what's the score? Who's winning the football? Who's winning the cricket? That's the level of inquiry. Whereas one who understands the higher values of life the real purpose of existence seeks knowledge above and beyond just the interactions of the modes of material nature and the interactions of the material energy, understanding that there is a higher purpose, that there is a higher level of existence beyond just the interaction of the material bodies. You know, the material bodies are just made up of gross material elements. But above those gross material elements is a more subtle existence, a more subtle experience. And we can see that if we analyze the elements of the creation, if we look at the grossest of the elements, the matter, and then if we look at more subtle than that, we get the liquids. If we look more subtle than that, if we analyze the material energy, we'll see that it becomes more and more subtle and more difficult to perceive till we get space. The gross material elements, matter, then we have liquids, then we have gases. Actually, before gases, we have kinetic energy like electricity or fire. Which we can sort of perceive with our senses. Actually, we can perceive all of these things with our senses, but they get subtler and subtler and subtler. Until we get more subtle, imperceptible with the gross senses, is the element of the mind. More subtle than the mind is the intelligence. And more subtle than the intelligence is the experience, ahankara, of identification. You know, that I am an individual. And ahamameti is this gross bodily concept, if you like, that I am this body. But with the development of intelligence, and that's what the human form is all about. The human form of life is about the development of intelligence and the power of discrimination. By cultivating the intelligence, one can understand and appreciate that I'm separate. But Prabhupada gives the example. You know, we don't say I hand or I head or I foot. We say my hand, my head, my foot, even my mind. Right? My mind is giving me trouble today. Right? So we can perceive ourselves as something separate from all of these things. So then in the minds of an intelligent person or an inquisitive person, somebody who's looking for answers, they inquire, who am I then? If I'm none of these things, then who am I? I'm something separate from the gross and the subtle elements. You know, and they see that, you know, the universe is working in an ordered and a structured fashion. They see the frustration of material existence. This is the beauty of the material energy. The material energy basically grinds one down into submission. Right? Because ultimately, everything in the material world comes to an end, right? Everything, even the most successful. Right? Prabhupada gives the example of Napoleon, Hitler, Roosevelt, whoever, the big names in history. Where are they now? Gone to dust. So ultimately, everybody is destroyed. And as a result of that destruction, that leaves a lot of distress, basically. Unhappiness. We get something, we think, yeah, I'm on the top of the world, but then, crash, we come down again. No matter what, although the material energy is actually very tricky because, you know, along with success, in material terms comes this sense of exhilaration. And we think, yeah, I'm having fun. This is great. This is it. But the sense of loss outweighs any sense of gain. So an intelligent person inquires, what is the real purpose of life? You know, we're anandamaya abhyasa. Krishna says, mama vamsa jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatanaha. Manam sastan indriyani prakritistan karshati. The living entities are part and parcel of Krishna. Krishna is their supreme enjoyer. Because we are part and parcel of Krishna, therefore we also want to enjoy. But in material existence, what do?
Misery.
Mostly we suffer.
Misery,
yeah? Yeah, misery. The very things that we hope will bring us enjoyment in the long run cause us misery. Huh? And the example that that Purujan Prabhu gives, just consider how much pleasure you can get from your thumb. Right? You can stroke your thumb, dress it in fancy clothes. Right? So how much pleasure can you get from your thumb? But how much pain can you experience with your thumb? Right? Bring it over here and I'll bang it with a hammer. So when you think about it, the material world is not designed for pleasure. Even that which is the most pleasurable is so flickering. And then with it comes so much struggle and suffering. So an inquisitive person, you know, somebody who looks at material existence and sees it for what it is, somebody who's intelligent, who's cultivated intelligence, inquires, what is going on here? This is not satisfying. Because Maya is, the material energy is very tricky because and Maya means that which is not. It presents things as being very attractive, which bewilders the living entity. The example is given of a moth who sees the light and is attracted to the light, especially at night. You'll see moths just flying around the light and they're banging into it all the time. Eventually it kills them. It destroys them. So the living entity that is very fortunate, described as being fortunate, inquires, well, what is the purpose of existence? I'm separate from this existence, from this experience. So the fortunate Bhagyavan Ajeev, one who is very, very fortunate, comes in contact with, well, actually, one can inquire and never find out the answers. Huh? One can inquire and never find out the answers. Unless he gets an opportunity to associate with one who knows the answers to these riddles, to the answers to these questions. So that's why it's described how fortunate one is to come in contact with the devotees. Because the devotees act as Krishna's agents. Just like here, Uddhava is approaching Krishna because Krishna is the supreme in everything. He knows everything. He possesses everything. And so therefore he is fully in knowledge. Sarvajna, one who knows everything. He's the goal of the Vedas. Was it Vidanta Krid Veda Vidiva Jahama? I am the knower and the compiler of the end of all knowledge. And so the devotees also understand the end of all knowledge, just like we have Bhakti Vedanta. Right? The end of all understanding is to understand the process of devotional service. That's the real purpose of existence. That's the natural position of a living entity. So, Uddhava is inquiring, and of course he's inquiring from Krishna. So one needs to inquire from Krishna, and if one doesn't get, and that's not obviously not, that's more than rarely achieved. But one can inquire from Krishna's representative and get the same result. Because Krishna's devotees understand what Krishna's mission is. They understand the principles of devotional service. They understand, they have the proper understanding. And so therefore they're able to give the answers to these questions. It's interesting here in the purport. It's mentioned, when considering religious principles, ordinary human beings remain bogged down in sectarian, mundane considerations. So the real purpose of existence is not to be a member of a particular denomination or a particular group, but rather the purpose of religious principles is to come to this perfection of understanding, which means understanding initially at least, well, understanding the process by which one can understand and come to the realization of one's spiritual identity. And so therefore, the association of the devotees is so important, because they're able to directly connect a person to the process of devotional service, which will immediately elevate one to a spiritual understanding of existence. And that's available for anybody, everybody. There's no discrimination. Anybody and everybody can take to the process of devotional service regardless of qualification, disqualification. No prerequisites. Right? Simply the desire to engage in devotional services and some enthusiasm. That's all that's required. And one can immediately transcend the modes of material nature and come to the process of devotional service. Right? It's a very direct process. And there's no, restrictions. No restrictions. Anybody can engage in devotional service. And that's the advantage of associating with the devotees. You know, when Lord Chaitanya was asked about various aspects of Vedic culture, and what is the topmost here, he was Ramananda Roy presented about ashram. But Lord Chaitanya rejected it. He said, no, go on, more. Give me more. So there is a benefit in Varnashram, because it gradually elevates a person. The Varnashram system is designed in such a way so that a person will be elevated from basic modes of ignorance, right? You know, this inquiry, you know, where's my food, where's my shelter, where can I get a job? Who won the cricket kind of mentality. It is a gross kind of ordinary person type mentality. modes of passion and modes of ignorance. Mode of ignorance is the lowest denominator. Then the mode of passion and ignorance. Then mode of passion and mode of goodness. Varnashram system is designed to regulate human society so that people can gradually be elevated from ignorance to ignorance and passion to passion to goodness. Then one can be, by this gradual process, then one can be introduced to the principles of karma, jnana and yoga. This is the gradual process. But the gradual process is slow. It's a slow process. It takes time. And even then, the Varnashram system was introduced at a time when the modes of material nature became more prominent, as it's described. Pitta Yuga or Satya Yuga, people practically speaking were pure devotees. It's almost begs the question, how come they're in the material world? If they're so advanced and elevated. So there must be still a tinge of attraction for material enjoyment. Some inquisitiveness to explore the material realm. Some inquisitiveness to stay in the material world, which is dangerous because, the inquiry should be, let me perfect my existence and stop the cycle of birth and death. But for the as the yuga progresses, then the qualities of religiosity and the modes of material nature start to manifest, the modes of passion starts to manifest. And so it's in that environment then that the Varnashram system is introduced as the dharma loses one leg, which means one of the principles of religiosity is destroyed, gradually eroded by time. Prabhupada gives the example of a clock that's wound up. So as the yugas proceed, at the beginning of Satya or Kritya Yuga, Kritya means more or less like perfect, the qualities of the human beings and the qualities of the environment and the nature, it degrades. And so, because there's a degradation of consciousness, then there has to be a system devised to purify that degradation of consciousness. So we see that in Kali Yuga, there's a huge degradation of consciousness, where people don't have any understanding, practically speaking, that there is a higher purpose in life. People's consciousness is dull. So the Varnashram system is designed to basically elevate dull consciousness into elevated consciousness through a gradual process of development. But practically speaking, in the Kali Yuga, the Varnashram system is, things have gone too far. The Dharma in the form of a bull is standing only on one leg, and even that leg is totally shaky. Right? All of the only religious principle that's has any prospect of survival is truthfulness. At least people can be truthful and say, I'm suffering. But even then, while they're suffering, they say, we're enjoying. We're having fun. Austerity, cleanliness, what's the other one?
Mercy.
No mercy. No mercy in this.
Truthfulness
is the only, and even then that's most of the time missing also. when you think about it. Truthfulness is missing. So, Vanashram system is, as is mentioned here, scientific, in that if one adheres to the principles of Vanashram, then, and we see that in a devotional community, then we see that we are encouraged to adhere to Vanashram principles, basically. So that there's some order or some structure within society. Not that we're attached to the Vanashram process, necessarily. But in as much as it supports this progression or this movement towards devotional service, then we adhere to Vanashram. So in other words, you know, we encourage the devotees to have an occupation, and an occupation that's suited to their nature. But it's not that we're attached to being brahmanas or kshatriyas or vaishyas or sudras, because we know that brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya or sudra is just it's actually just a bodily designation. So, you know, Lord Chaitanya said, I am not a Brahmin, I'm not a Kshatriya, I'm not a Vaishya, I'm not a Sudra, not a Brahmachari, Grihastha Vanaprastha Sannyasi. Naham. Right, that's the first line of the verse of the first line. The first line of the verse, but I can't remember the rest of it. We used to chant it every morning. We used to chant it before we did the puja for Gaur Nitai. Yes, that's the one. I'm not a Brahmana, I'm not a Kshatriya, I'm not a Vaishya, I'm not a Sudra. Gopi Bhatu, I can remember the last one. Gopi Bhatu Pada Kamalaya Dasa Dasa No Das. I'm a servant of the master of the gopis, many times removed. Dasa No Das. Das Dasa No Das. The Vanashram system is designed in such a way to order and structure society so that eventually we come to that point. But if we were to wait for the re-establishment of Vanashram, forget it. So therefore, more important is to, in this day and age, is to directly engage in a process of devotional service. And all that's required is, the qualification for that is the enthusiasm to do it. Pavitrami dhammuttamam. It is purifying. In order to set an example for society, we follow Vanashram principles. But the Vanashram principles are followed basically to support the practice of devotional service. Mamchayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. But the engagement in devotional service is paramount. That's the topmost activity. Because by engaging in devotional service, one will get a direct realization of one's spiritual identity, pratyaksavagamam dhamyam, and one will, and that's the perfection. That's the perfection of human existence in this day and age. We follow the Vanashram system because it supports the practice of devotional service. And you know, when we meet people, we encourage them to engage in devotional service. That's the highest principle. Of course, we also encourage them to become regulated. In other words, you know, introduce the mode of goodness. So we actually introduce Brahminical principles. We introduce Vanashram, if you like. Yes, act according to your propensity. Do some activity which ultimately suits your nature. And, you know, get married. Or be a brahmachari. Whatever suits the character and the development of the individual, at the particular stage of life that they happen to be, we encourage a person to settle down, get a job, be normal, right? Because you know, basic Varnashram principles remove the unwanted things and the attachments to, you know, sense gratification, subtle and gross. Anattas. Yeah, anatta. Anatta, that which is not essential. The purpose of Varnashram is to bring everything that one does, excuse me, to the point of pleasing Krishna. That's the real purpose. To pleasing Krishna. Otherwise, when you get hung up, you know, I'm a Brahmana, I'm a Kshatriya, I'm a Vaishya, I'm a Sudra. Let me engage in my duty. But the real duty is not based on the material principle. The real duty is based, and the proper understanding is based on this question: who am I? I'm a servant of Krishna. Nitya, what is it? Jivera Swarupoi Nitya Krishna Das. We're eternally a servant of Krishna. That's our identity. Our real identity is I'm a servant of Krishna. Not I'm a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra. That's just a bodily designation. It helps us because it engages a person in activities natural and, you know, to their inclination. But the purpose of all of that is not to become a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra, but to come to the point of inquiry, who am I? To come to the point of associating with the devotees, basically, because that's where that question is answered. And the engagement in pure devotional service transcends all of these bodily considerations. And so therefore, in the conversation with Ramananda Roy, Lord Chaitanya rejected Varnashram. And finally, you know, he settled at the point of devotional service, the beginning of devotional service, which is basically hearing. Huh? That's the importance of coming into the association of devotees. When one comes into the association of devotees, one hears about the process of devotional service. One then gets engaged. That's Shravanadi Sudha Chitte. Shravanadi Sudha Chitte Karaye Udoy. The natural Krishna prana, or love for Krishna, which is residing eternally in the hearts of all living entities, is reawakened when one hears from the devotees. This is why the association of the devotees is so important. So in one sense, you know, forget about Varnashram. Become a devotee. That's the most important thing. And then supportive of that, subsequent to that, is then, okay, order your life. Life should be ordered and structured in such a way that one can become a devotee. That's the most important thing. Gradual, you know, the gradual, if we follow the gradual process, we'll never, you know, Kali Yuga, life is too short. So you can see, you know, when Prabhupada came to preach, what did he do? He got people to chant Hare Krishna. Basically. Gave them prasadam. Gave them the philosophy. You're not the body, you're a spirit soul. Later on he said, yes, we need to establish or introduce Varnashram principles. But basically not as the goal, if you like, but rather as a supportive environment in which one could practice pure devotional service. That's the perfection. So when one inquires, when one is inquisitive and has the good fortune of associating with the devotees and inquires about the process, you know, what is the purpose of human life, then one is on the path of perfection, as Prabhupada said. Krishna consciousness is the path of perfection, the path of purification, actually. And the devotee's model of anashram principles basically is to set an example. Here's how one should live an ordered, structured life to pursue the ultimate goal, which is to get out of this place. There was a song, famous song by Eric Burden and the Animals, aptly named, right? Eric Burden and the Animals. We've got to get out of this place. Right? If it's the last thing we ever do. Well, it will be the last thing that we do. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy, basically. Because that, but that's very simple. That's simple. That's the simplified, you know, mantra, the simplified process. And so we do need an ordered, structured society in order to do that. So the devotees model Varnashram. You know, we have brahmacharis, we have householders, we have those in retired order more and more often as we progress in our years. And we have the sannyasis, renounced order. And generally adhering to those principles creates a peaceful environment within society whereby we can then pursue Krishna consciousness. But the important thing is to follow, you know, to be Krishna conscious. That's the main, that's where the real, that's the goal. So who will again speak this lost knowledge when Krishna departs? Any comments or questions? Mahatmaji?
Humility?
Humility, very important. Right. Yeah, okay. Can't argue with that. Not sure how that relates to anything that I said, but. Yes, it's true. Humility is important. Yes, it's a symptom of it's a fact. It is a symptom of advancement, and it's a symptom of truthfulness. Vidya vinaya sampane, Ramani gavihastani, Sunichaiva Sapakecha Pandita Samadashnaha. One who is in knowledge is not puffed up. One who's in knowledge is humble because he realizes I'm just a fool. How come I got in this mess in the first place? If I'm so advanced, if I'm so learned, then how did I get in this mess? So then it is humble. Not that I'm so elevated and I'm so learned that I'm very advanced. Bow down to me because I'm a brahmana. Give charity to me for your benefit. Or I'm a devotee. I am most perfect. See, that's Kanishtha Adhikari. Kanishtha thinks I am the most advanced. And everybody should bow down to me, and all of you demons don't come to the temple. I used to think, you know, when all these people come into the temple, I think, what's wrong with these people? You know, they're just a bunch of demons. Why don't they surrender? They should all just surrender to Krishna, like me. They should be as surrendered as I am. Just come to the temple and make a mess. And we've got to feed them. But a more advanced devotee is one who recognizes the devotees and the benefit of associating with the devotees. Avoids the, you know, because that means being engaged in devotional service and worshipping Krishna.
He recognizes also that those who are not to be associated with, and the innocent. So more advanced is a person who really appreciates and values the association of the devotees and the opportunity that that brings, but then wants to give that to others, to give that opportunity to others. That's more advanced. Not that I'm the best devotee. That's proud devotee. That's devotional service performed in a mode of ignorance and passion. The devotional service performed in goodness is where one appreciates the value of the association of the devotees and how to benefit, how to give that, appreciate the benefit that one's received for oneself, and then want to give that to others. Even if they're, a bunch of fools. And when Prabhupada was asked by the Minister for Social Security, I think it was, or Social Welfare, came to see Prabhupada, and he was saying to Prabhupada, what happens if, because Prabhupada was saying, we'll feed everybody that comes to the temple, let everybody come and eat, and Prabhupada said, and this man said, well, what happens if they come to steal from you? Prabhupada says, no, let them come and eat prasadam, knowing that if you distribute prasadam to people, then gradually they'll become purified. What's that verse? Prabhupada Srila Maharaj quoted this verse the other day. Jagya Shishta Shano Shanto Muchante Savakil Bishai Bunjate Tetogam Papam Ye Pachanchat Makaranat. Those who eat the remnants of Jagya are purified by that. So we eat the Jagya is, rather than cooking for my own senses and my belly, we cook for Krishna's senses and for his pleasure. That's the sacrifice. What a sacrifice. How hard is that? Pretty simple kind of a sacrifice. But still, it is a sacrifice. We sacrifice our own sense gratification for Krishna's pleasure. So we cook for him. So that's the remnants of the Jagya is the prasadam. Now if we give that prasadam to others, gradually one becomes purified. Another comment?
Yeah,
very shallow, the fools,
everything
of the Prakash Saraswati. Foolish because, the Mayavadis have this funny conception that everything is false in the material world. That the ultimate reality is the Brahman. Nirvisesha. Our philosophy is Visesha, which means variety. Right? Variety. And that way we can engage everybody, right? Our philosophy is variety. And we adjust according to the individual. My body thing is, we're all one. But we're not all one. You're not me and I'm not you. Right? We're all one maybe in quality, but there's difference as well. So our philosophy is Vishesha, which means basically difference. There's a difference. There's a difference between my body and my soul. There's a difference between me and you. And we take that into consideration. So therefore we present Kaladesha Patra, right? Time, place and circumstance. We consider the individual, we consider the circumstance. Yeah. Okay. Let's go. Kantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.